Hello, and welcome back to Green Living Podcast. This week's guest is Morgan Finley. Morgan is the owner of Viren Apothecary, focusing on formulating low-waste home care for green cleaning without compromise. Viren products were born from her personal refusal to compromise between eco-friendly ingredients, fine fragrances, and sparkling surfaces. In our conversation, we chat about how Viren Apothecary came about, her most challenging product to make, fragrances and products, and a lot more. A few weeks after recording this episode, I ordered her all-purpose cleaner. The scent is white tea and pear, and it smells absolutely amazing, and her scouring scrub, which is unscented. If you follow me on Instagram, then you might have seen me use them, and they are absolutely amazing. I know a lot of people like to DIY their own cleaners, which is great. However, if you are not one of those people or are just starting out and wanting eco-friendly products while having the convenience of having it pre-made, I highly recommend her products. And you are supporting a small business, which is what it's all about. And something I'm personally really excited about is I'm recording this intro and outro on a new microphone I just got. So for future episodes, I'm going to be using this microphone, and I hope it's a lot clearer for you all. So without further ado, let's get into my conversation with Morgan.
Hello, Morgan.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for being a guest here on Green Living Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk to you.
I am really excited to talk to you as well and to hear all about Viren Apothecary. So can you please tell me about Viren Apothecary and how it came about?
Absolutely. So I started Viren Apothecary because I couldn't find the products that I was looking for. I was tired of using DIY green cleaning products with vinegar and essential oils and Castile soap because I found that they didn't work. And I had concerns with my pets because essential oils can be super toxic to animals. But I also wasn't happy with the green cleaning options that were on the store shelves because so many of them, even when they're plant derived, they're made with palm oil. And palm farming is a huge contributor to deforestation and it has a huge environmental impact. So I was not able to find things that were palm free, that were vinegar free, and that worked. I didn't want to have to compromise on any of those. So that's when I started doing research into ingredients and realized that there was really a gap in the market for a product. And that's what inspired me to want to create it, was really just not being able to find what I wanted and saying, okay, well, I guess I'm going to have to make it then.
That's amazing. And you started doing DIYs, and obviously you said that there was like a lot of vinegar and essential oils. And I've tried some DIYs, and I always find like some of them leave a residue or there is that strong vinegar smell. So how have you been able to do it? I don't know if you use vinegar at all, but how have you been able to make something smell amazing and be sustainable?
Yeah. So I do not use vinegar at all. When I need an acid in a product, I actually use citric acid. And since it comes in it's obviously citrus fruit derived, and it comes in a powder that you dilute. So the impact of shipping it is also a lot less. And it's pretty much at this point waste free on my end. But the other thing is that my products do contain detergents and not soaps, because detergents are closer to being pH neutral, while soap has a really high pH, and soap also has fat. So when you're just trying to clean with Castile soap, as in other cleaners, green cleaners too, you get that soapy residue from that fat. So I realized that while a lot of commercial detergents and chemicals are not good for you and are not natural, that there are ones out there that fit the bill for being both plant derived and not palm derived and actually work. So after I started doing, I guess I would say that if I have one specialty in product formulation, it's understanding the surfactants, which are those detergents and how they work together. So the whole first part of formulating any of these products were for me was first coming up with a list of being like, what ingredients can I use? And if I'm researching ingredients, looking at trying not to have confirmation bias. So not just looking for information that confirms what I already think about an ingredient and how I'm wording things on Google, you know, but going at it from the other side too, to make sure that I'm not just seeking information to confirm things. And that's really where I learned a lot about essential oils and ingredients like D-limonene too, which is in a lot of green cleaning products, but it's super toxic to aquatic life. So yeah, that's where I started with that. No vinegar at all.
So where does the name Viren come from?
Viren comes from the Latin word virio, which means to be green. It's used in binomial nomenclature. Scientists are naming plants and animals. And it's the second word often is virens. And that describes plants that are green year round. So it kind of means to be green. And I really liked that because in baking my company, I knew that I wanted to make sure I was being green, not only all the time, but in a very true way, not greenwashing and coming again from all angles when looking at the different parts of making products and green cleaning.
Yeah, everything is purely green, purely healthy, yes, for the planet and people. Oh, I love that. Yeah. And what was the first product that you developed?
The first product that I developed was my all-purpose surface tonic. And the one interesting thing I did with that in particular was I decided very early on that I wanted it to be concentrated on its own, because all-purpose cleaners, I found out, are super watered down, right? They contain a lot of water. But the water is important because the water is a huge part of the cleaning, obviously. If you just put soap in your washing machine and didn't have water, nothing would be clean, right? So I realized that if you wet your cloth first and then spray your cleaner just a few sprays on that rag, you could clean your whole kitchen with it. So it's a lot more concentrated than other all-purpose formulas out there, and just giving my consumers and customers that extra little bit of knowledge and step of being like, hey, you can use a lot less if you add a little bit of water on your own versus selling a concentrate and telling them to add water from their tap. So I developed that first, and then the other two ones I launched with were the Crystal Clear for Glass and Mirrors and Fresh Reset Fabric Refresher.
You also sell toilet bowl bombs, and I saw you have like the wood polisher. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, tabletop. It's called tabletop gloss.
One looked really interesting to me because I have a lot of wood furniture from like my great grandparents, and I'm so nervous to put anything on them.
Yes, especially if you're looking at DIYs, because in a lot of the DIYs for wood cleaner are telling you to put vinegar on that. And I did damage to one of my tables doing that, because you're not supposed to put acids on wood. You are not. So for the tabletop gloss, I wanted something that wasn't as oily as other furniture polishes, because I hated that feeling. And I hated cleaning my table and then putting paper down on it and getting grease on the paper. Like, that's so gross. But I wanted it to look glossy, so I formulated it into kind of like a milky consistency. It is white and milky looking, and it's great because it really soaks into the wood well, and after you wipe it up, there's no oiliness to it,
and it adds that shine and a protective layer.
Yes, definitely.
That's so incredible. Yeah, a lot of DIYs I'm very nervous to do with wood specifically. There's some wood that I'm like, it's not, you know, like literally right, an heirloom piece. And I forgot to mention this from the beginning. Congratulations, you just got a new place for Viren Apothecary.
Thank you. That's I'm so excited.
can you tell me about that? And that shows to me, you know, you're doing really well and that you're expanding as well.
Yes. So you mentioned the toilet bowl bombs too. I have not been caught up on those since summer at all because they're so time consuming. My stores are constantly, it's a great problem to have, but my stores are constantly selling out of them and I'm spending so much of my day. I can't catch up. So I got a workshop, which I'm really excited about to take my business out of the home. But the biggest benefit of that is going to be that I'm going to get help. I hired an employee and she's one of my good friends and someone that is always testing my products before they come to market and helping me make them better. So I'm really excited to add her to my team and to get just an extra set of hands because I would love to be caught up on toilet bowl bombs one of these days. I use a pneumatic press with them and that's really helped, but it's just very, very time consuming, but I'm so excited to have my own little workshop space.
And as you said before, you mentioned essential oils are not always great for pets. Can you tell me a little bit more about like your fragrances and everything?
Absolutely. I have always loved perfume, and in becoming green and beauty products and personal care products, I was really, really missing fragrances because I had it in my mind that fragrances were all dangerous and that it was the wild west of ingredients, you know, anything goes. And I thought that if I couldn't use essential oils, basically I couldn't have fragrance. And it made me really sad. It's actually one of my dreams for my future to be able to create perfumes like Eau de Parfums and to even go to school for that. So there's nothing that makes you realize the amount of joy that something brings to your life than not having it anymore. Right. So I just missed fragrance so much. And I originally was going to use essential oils in my products. And it wasn't until I took the method of research I mentioned earlier, which is wording things to go against my preconceived notions, that I was really started to realize how much of the common knowledge of essential oils that we kind of have as a green community is completely all multi-level marketing, and how little of that science has any grip in reality, really. So those MLM companies of doTERRA and Young Living really do a disservice to the actual practice of aromatherapy and actual aromatherapists by sharing misinformation about things being safe for pets that aren't, for using things undiluted, for eating things, for putting them in your food and drink, which I see a lot. And it was really, really shocking once I started to kind of go down that rabbit hole because, again, I was just looking for information so that I knew for sure that they were safe to use. And as soon as I started realizing how they are truly it's kind of the essential oil industry kind of gaslights the fragrance oil industry, because all of the things that they try to point onto the fragrance industry is the issues with the essential oils. Being that they also have more allergen potential. So people with respiratory allergies and asthma are more likely to react to essential oils than fragrance oils. And you're not supposed to use them if you're pregnant. You're not supposed to use them around pets. They're just a really, really powerful plant matter. I also realized that it takes a huge amount of plant matter to make essential oils. At one point, I calculated out that putting 5 drops of rose essential oil into your bath is like taking a bath in 75,000 rose petals. And if you try to add up the emissions from creating that, not to mention the just complete waste of plant, how much water it takes to grow them, bringing them up from South America, it's just truly astronomical. So, I realized that there is such a thing as safe fragrances, and that the reason people don't disclose them isn't so much of because we're hiding all these crazy things in there. It's because the names are so long. Once I really started combing through fragrance ingredients, you realize that they're just these huge, huge, long names. They look scary to people, but they're really not as scary as they look. And it's just that it would be it would be pretty much impossible to put all of them on it, right? But it's not necessarily of a thing of danger. Now, the couple things that I really look for in my fragrance oils, I use some that are plant-based that aren't essential oils. They're called fragrance isolates, which means they're kind of a byproduct of other processing. But in other ones, I use synthetics. And in the synthetics, I definitely make sure that they are phthalate and paraben-free, because those are two of the ingredients that are fillers in fragrances. They're not compounds that make fragrances, that I definitely try to avoid, because there is literature that they can build up in your body and affect your endocrine system. But I have a lot of fun making my fragrances. They are all very unique. I'm very, very proud of them. And it's been a great tool. My fragrances have been a great tool in converting people into green cleaning that otherwise wouldn't. So people who are green cleaning with their own DIYs or other products are always really happy about the fragrances, but the fragrances make people who are already just using like Windex and stuff, you know, they get them into green cleaning. And it's really, really been awesome for me to see how some people have started picking up eco-friendly habits that have started from following my business, and them saying, I never thought about saving my jars and my bottles for you. I never thought I would want to use a refill station. And that introduces them to all these ideas in a way that, because of the way that they smell, right? So it kind of just broadens the market. But that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I think, as you said, your products, I think, are kind of a good mixture of, yes, they still have the fragrance that smells good. That's, I think, unscented things have merit, but people do like things that smell nice as well. And
I do
awesome.
Offer unscented too, because some people are sensitive. So I do offer unscented in all my products now for people who do want to completely avoid it.
That's incredible. Yeah. And as you said, it kind of opens up the door for some people that weren't necessarily going down, you know, a sustainable or eco-friendly route. And then that can introduce them to it in a way that isn't, you know, oh, you need to DIY everything or anything like that. It's already done.
Right. And it doesn't change their habits a ton from the start, because it can be overwhelming if you tell people, like, you're asking them to change all of their habits to live a greener life. That can be very overwhelming. So
it's a lot.
Since you're cleaning in the same way, it doesn't really change that.
And you did mention people sending you back glass containers? I think I saw on your website that if you have at least 4, Viren Apothecary sends postage to send it back to you. So do you reuse those bottles?
I do reuse a lot of bottles locally. I do local drop-offs since I have to travel to Milwaukee and Madison. Often I do free deliveries to people on that route. And for them, switching out bottles has been happening for a long time. And I just sanitize them and delabel them and reuse them. And I did want to offer that on my website. And I have been for a little bit. I have yet to have somebody cash in. And I know some people who have gotten many refills, and it's in the back of my mind being like, are you gonna ever email me and ask me to send you a shipping label? Because I'll take them back. No one's yet to ship them back to me. I'm hoping that does happen eventually. And it's also possible that I have more concentrate formulas at that point, but it's something that I've been hesitant about. Because of using natural preservatives, asking people to put water in from their tap introduces bacteria. And when you have the kind of preservatives that Mrs. Myers, and to allow for that easy fill up experience, are ingredients that I'm not comfortable working with.
And maybe people not sending them back. I know you probably know who gets the refills a lot. I know you have really concentrated products. So maybe it's a good thing, you know, that they're not going through your products so fast.
Definitely.
And for you, maybe personally, why has it been so important to make sustainable, low waste, eco-friendly ingredient cleaning products?
Yeah. So again, it was just something that I thought was lacking in the low waste and refill markets, especially. And I think it's irresponsible to focus on how we're going to clean and take care of our houses while completely ignoring how we're going to take care of the planet, because that's our shared home. You know, first year and a half of my company, I did use plastic bottles because I had no job. I moved back home to start this company and I only had so much money, and I had to look at what I was going to invest in to create. And it came down to, okay, I'm going to invest in these surfactants and all these high quality ingredients, but I'm going to have to package it in packaging and make that compromise at the beginning with plastic until I get off the ground a little bit. So it was really exciting when I was able to fully make that switch and haven't looked back. But I always knew I wanted it to be in glass too. And the toilet bowl bombs, especially, there's not other zero waste toilet cleaners out there, because even if it comes in a plastic bottle that can be recycled, those products, you cannot take the cap off of them and rinse them out first. So even if people throw them in their blue recycling bin of their Clorox toilet cleaners, it's still going straight into the dumpster no matter what, you know? So that was really an exciting product too, to be able to say, for this product especially, we don't have to add water. We can just give you the bomb and you can put it in your toilet. I package those in recyclable craft paper, and people can also purchase them in jars too.
Yeah, I saw the smaller toilet bombs in the glass containers, which is such a great idea.
Oh yeah.
I love that.
The touch-up tabs.
Yes.
I created those because one of my customers has twin toddlers, and in like toilet training them, they stopped using the bathroom unless they were able to use a toilet bomb afterwards. Like it was like they loved using them so much. So she was like, is there any way you could make these smaller for me, please? I'm cleaning my toilet twice a day, no matter what.
Oh my gosh. That's so incredible.
It was so cute. I was really happy to solve that problem for her.
Must be so nice to have that also personal interaction and communication with your customers and be able to evolve for them.
Definitely. They give me a lot of great ideas. I use customers all the time when I'm making stuff to test things. And it's not like I'm not asking them to test as influencers, like try this and post about it on your story. I get testers for my products of people that are already using my stuff and ask very thorough questions to compare it to other stuff they use and get feedback from them. And all that feedback has been so important to making all of my things that I've made since my launch. And I try really hard to be receptive to their feedback because, again, I remember what it was like to be a consumer that wasn't able to find what I wanted. So what they want is very important to me in a way more than sales numbers. It's important to me that I feel like I'm be able to fulfill their needs for that.
And I wanted to ask you about scour powder.
Yeah.
I have not had any interaction with this. And as I have looked at your products for a while, having my eye on them, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it. I love scour powder. It's one of the products I'm most proud of. And people send me before and afters all the time of their stuff. And it's just gets amazing results. So scour powder is like a eco-friendly Comet, because I remember using Comet when I was younger and helping my grandma clean the house and stuff. It's an abrasive powder that you use to clean sinks and tubs and stuff. And it works really, really well, but it is very, very it smells very strongly of chemicals, and there's a lot of really strong chemicals in it. So I wanted to create an eco-friendly version for scouring purposes. And that's how I got the name Scour Powder. And it's different than a couple other green cleaning scrubs that are out there, because a lot of those are just baking soda. But mine is a washing soda and then sodium percarbonate, which is like kind of like OxyClean. So once it gets wet, it starts to bubble because hydrogen peroxide is released from it. And I also add a little bit of fine grain pumice to it. So you have to scrub a lot less. It's such a fine grain that I've never had any damage on anything. I've never gotten scratches on my glass stovetop. It's not like chunks of rock by any means, but it really does add this extra oomph to it that you have to use a lot less elbow grease to scrub. But people use it on their sinks and their tubs and their shower floors. I used it once after I put bacon grease on a pan and I put it in my oven to get it out of the way. And I forgot about it. And the next day I preheated my oven to make something and just burnt all that bacon grease onto it.
Oh, no.
And I didn't even take a before picture because it wasn't long after I had started making it. I don't even know if Scour Powder was launched yet, but I didn't think it was going to work by any means. So I didn't even think to take a before picture. And then when it just literally dissolved it all off, I was in awe. I was like, oh my God, this stuff works really, really well. So it's one of my best sellers for sure. And I'm always really excited when people send me pictures of them scouring their stuff, and makes me really happy.
Yeah. I haven't had any interactions with it or seen it. And I saw it on your website and I saw some before and afters that you posted. And I thought, oh, that's like really cool. And I think it's really important too, because I think people think that natural cleaning products don't do anything.
Yes.
So just take a look at those photos.
Yes. That's definitely the most high power product I have. And it really does work just as good, if not better than Comet. I would be willing to say it works better than Comet, especially too, because you can put it on things that are food grade and you would never want Comet anywhere near your pots and pans. You know what I mean? Like that would be a big yikes. So, but them working is also a very important thing for me. I will never launch something if I don't think it works as good or as better or better than what is out there. I formulated a automatic dishwasher powder this summer and I had it tested and it got great feedback. And I realized after I ran out of an ingredient and bought some pods from my local low waste store that it didn't work any better than the other green pods. And when I realized that, I had to put the kibosh on it and say, listen, like, because I want what I make to be exceptional, even if that means I make less things. And there's no reason to add something else to the market if there's something that already is working. So if it doesn't work as good or better, it just works as well, then I'm going to leave it alone.
I think that's so incredible too, because there is something already on the market. And I think especially being a small business, I'm sure it's very hard to come up with new products and it takes so much time. And then even after all of that time you put into it, you decide not to put it on the market because there is something that is just as good. And that's the whole point too, is, you know, just kind of less products, less things out there.
Right. I definitely want to solve problems. So if there's not a problem with it, it's like, why fix what's not broken when I can instead try to focus on things that have either, you know, they're not low waste or they're not green or they're not effective. But if they're already all those things, then I'd rather have the time put into it and saying, well, we tried that, than try to push something that I truly didn't believe like was worth people's time, you know?
And you were able to learn from making that product as well, I'm sure.
Definitely. And that's information I can use in other places and formulating other things too. It's definitely never a waste, even when stuff doesn't work.
What is your favorite thing to make?
My favorite thing to make now is the toilet bowl bombs. I did not feel that way for a long time because they were so hard to perfect once I got my pneumatic press. It was like I had so much hope riding on getting that press and thinking, I'm finally going to catch up once I get it. I'm going to be able to make 300 a day. It's going to be this huge thing. And then realizing that I basically had to start from scratch with my formula. And I'm still learning things about it all the time because it's so, I have the air compressor in my garage. So I have to have the door kind of open to be using it even in the house. And they're so sensitive to the humidity, to the weather. And it's taken me a long time to realize what kind of things affect them. I just realized recently that if I use citric acid and baking soda that was in my garage in the freezing cold and make it with that, then they dry cracked once they dry. So it's like a constant learning of, okay, the all the powders have to be room temp. It can't be humid. It can't be too wet. It can't be too dry. It's this whole thing. It was really frustrating. But now, I mean, I've been doing it so much. I really had to work on having a change of attitude because I thought if I'm not able to try to relate more favorably to this process, then it's going to be miserable. So I was really able to enjoy the kind of meditative state of it once you get in the groove of it, because I really can kind of zone out, and I've really been using it as good brainstorming time for other things. And it feels really good now to make a bunch of them and have them be more consistent and not have to have the anxiety of, are they going to dry? Are they going to crack? Are they going to bubble up? Are they going to this? Are they going to that? So it took a long time to get there to where I enjoy it, but now I can genuinely say that I'm enjoying it. And it's not a huge chore every day. I feel so lucky that people want them that much that I'm able to consistently make them.
It sounds like there's so many elements that go into it. And I'm sure even, yeah, as the seasons change, as the weather changes, it's all you have to factor that into the equation of making them.
Yeah, I got the press in the summertime. So it was like just after I would have 2 months to really feel like I knew what I was doing, then it was fall. And then it was winter. But now I feel like since I've been in all the seasons, I'm like, okay, I think I got it now. I think we're...
You've got it down.
Surprises. Yeah.
So the last question I have for you, it's something that you're developing now that you're soaking clothes to brighten them, I believe, or you're developing something for like white clothes. Is that correct?
Yes. So laundry detergent is one of the first green swaps I made in college. And I got this detergent called Nellie's, and it just ruined so many of my clothes with residue. All of my white clothes from that period of time that I still use as sleep shirts and stuff are just so dingy and gross. And every now and then I'll pull out a shirt that I haven't worn forever and I haven't washed it a billion times since. And it just smells like dirty water. Like Nellie's worked awful, awful, awful for me. And I have people every single week messaging me, asking me when I'm going to have laundry detergent, when I'm going to have laundry detergent. And I was eventually decided I was going to try all of the different detergents that my zero waste stores in Milwaukee and Madison carry, because they carried multiple ones. So in talking about like, I don't want to create things there's not a need for, I really was like, even though I was just making little batches for myself that I wasn't really thinking about, I was like, I'm going to start buying these other green detergents. I have to see if there's one that's really great that I can recommend, or at the very least what people's problems are with the other ones and why they're coming to me asking me to make them. And none of them were nearly as, they weren't like Nellie's or by any means. They definitely work, and some of them worked really good, but I felt like I just needed a little bit of a boost, especially in my white loads and things, that they could just use a little bit of power. So I started making like Oxy Clean type bombs with the idea of it being an in-wash booster. So I feel like that's bringing something unique to that market that already has a lot of other choices. And also using that formula to use as a soak for laundry stripping, which is, it's a blogger thing that people, you know, like on the mom blogs, a DIY thing where they soak their clothes for 4 to 6 hours in this mixture of stuff to get all that residue out. So I was just in starting my brainstorming process for formulating that, trying to see if I can undo some of my really, really gross things from using that other detergent. And so far, I'm not having great results, but I just started. But I really have a vision for what I think that product could be and how it could fit into people's routines already. So I'm excited to keep working on it and to perfect it. And remember that sometimes it takes a while, but I always figure it out. I always get there. And if I don't, then I scrap it and tell people, well, I tried. But I think it's going to work eventually. I mean, I don't think if those items might ever be back to new, but I think that if people had a booster for their really dirty stuff, that they would be a lot happier with the other detergent options that are out there.
That sounds like a fun and exciting new endeavor, even if, like you said, you have to scrap it. But if you are getting that much feedback about residues being left over and people really wanting it, then it sounds like the market needs you for that. And you're doing all of the work, you know, to benefit everyone else. So I'm sure it would be very popular if you're able to do it. That sounds so exciting.
Yeah, I am excited. It'll be a process. And again, I decided that I really wanted to bring it up from the beginning of it so that I could give people a look into what formulating looks like for me, how it starts, how the fails along the way, along with the wins along the way. Because when I was doing it with my big products, nobody was there. Like, one, everybody in my life thought I was nuts and crazy and wanted me to get a job. And two, I probably had like 20 followers on social media for like a year, where if I was posting about how I was formulating all-purpose surface tonic or how I was testing streaks on the glass, nobody would have cared. So I'm trying to be able to be transparent about that. But it's exciting, and it'll be fun to share if it ends up working out.
It's been so much fun having you on the podcast, Morgan. I've loved learning more about Byron Apothecary, and I find it very, very interesting. So thank you again for being my guest.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
I want to thank Morgan again so much for being my guest. I'm so happy we got to talk more about Byron Apothecary. And I hope for people that are maybe beginning their sustainable journey that they will check out her products. Because as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, that everything's already made for you. So if you're not into DIYing your own cleaners, this is a great alternative. I truly did have such a blast chatting with Morgan. And I forgot to mention this in the intro to this episode, but Morgan had her dogs on the bed with her. So if you heard any snoring or any barking or anything, those were sounds from her dogs. And you can find me on Instagram at greenlivingpod. I also have a YouTube channel, which is at greenlivingpod. And my website is greenlivingpod.com. And there you can find a short summary of this episode as well. Thank you so much for listening.